So we've been talking about three words for the new year, and a couple of weeks ago we spoke of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that today is a new day, every day, because we're new creations in Christ. And we spoke of that, and then last week we spoke of today you have everything that you need to live a godly, holy life before the Lord, to find the abundant life. And so we looked at that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Everything you need to live godly. And I got to thinking about just when the ICE threat was coming and all the things were happening that we were coming to the place of a freeze and maybe not having church. And I just continued to think about a snowy day. And I thought about one of David's valiant men named Benaiah. And Benaiah was called a valiant man in second Samuel chapter 23, verses 20. And I was thinking about this man because the Bible says in that verse that one day he also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. And I just thinking about this all weekend, and thinking about the bravery of this man that was a valiant man. He was a man that had, that he's actually mentioned over 30 times in Scripture. He's one of David's valiant men. He has a great, great heritage. His father was a valiant man. He was a man that did mighty deeds, the Scripture says. He was loyal to David. David made him the head of his guard, head of security, head of secret service. I mean, he was the bodyguard. He was very, very well honored. The Bible says he had a name. And actually, his name means Yahweh builds. And when you look at Benaiah, you see a man of great character that God built. You see a man that really has everything he needs for every assignment, even on a snowy day. And I think about that. I think about just a mighty deed where Scripture calls it disciplined courage, a courage that just comes from faith and a righteousness. He's trusted. Matter of fact, the Bible says so much that there were 30 valiant men, three grew to prominence, and he wasn't one of the three, but he was way up high standard of a godly man, a holy man, a man who was loyal, a man who did not care about fame. He would also take the side of Solomon or David's desire for Solomon to be king and serve Solomon and was at his bidding. He was okay not on the total front row, not at the high tier. He was a servant. What I love about it is that when you think about just the mighty deeds, there's three things that he says, that Scripture says that he did. And I'll read it. Verse 20, then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done mighty deeds, he killed two sons of Ariel of Moab, and he also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, this impressive, massive man. An Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and he went down to him with a club, but snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. So he mentions three mighty deeds, and it has to do with killing something, two brothers of a Moab king who were elite. The literal says they were lion-like men, and so they were very intimidating. When you think of a lion, you think about the apex of the food chain, right? He's the apex predator. And so he kills these two men and wins this mighty victory for the Lord. And then the Scripture says, in one day, he went down into the middle of a pit on a snowy day and killed this lion. I think about the pit. Why would he go down into a pit to do that? Did he do that for show? No. The lion was a threat. It was a threat to the armies of God encamped in that area. The lion was a threat to a threat that needed to be dealt with. And so in boldness, in a mighty deed, he goes down into a pit on a snowy day. Spurgeon says of him that while everyone was staying home, he was, or in their tents, he was a man that would go after the threat. Love that. I think about just going into a pit and that has only one way in and one way out. I mean, when you go into the pit, you're committed, right? That's the bottom line. You go into the pit where there's something in danger or someone in danger to rescue them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But here's a man that saw a threat in a pit with no back door, no back hole, and jumps in and kills this lion. I think about also just the conditions of the day. He says it was a snowy day, slippery, icy. That didn't make much sense. Maybe we wait until the lion comes out. But no, he jumps in and takes care of business. I love that because I think about the people in society that do things like that, like the fireman that goes into a building to save people, or even a father or a mother or a person who walks by a fire, hears the scream, and goes into that pit to rescue that child, that man, that woman. I think about the linemen in our counties on days or weekend like this who just are up all night long. Fulfilling their assignment, making sure that we have heat, electricity. You know, I think about the stories you hear about even mothers who a son or a daughter is trapped, and all of a sudden this great strength to lift something heavy, to head to the difficult place, to head to the things that are hard. It's also like the missionary who'll go to hard places. Places of threat, places where Christianity is not welcomed, and yet they'll go into that pit to crush the head of the enemy. I think about that. Think about the things that God's called us to do that might seem risky, that might seem hard, that might seem difficult. But think about it. Think about it as a lion in the pit on a snowy day, where we never, ever stop working. We never, ever stop praying. We never, ever stop, you know, just like the weekend. We just don't put God aside. We make him the centerpiece of the weekend. And I think that's what I think about when I think about Benaiah. I think about the believer who goes into places to feed hungry people that are hard places, even in the cities of America. I think about people working with homeless people, threats all around, and yet will go into the pit on a snowy day to do the rescue. I love Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It says this, you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And have mercy on some who are doubting, but save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating the garment polluted by the flesh. You know, I think about, we have three men that are in Cambodia today, and they're ministering to the people that God's called us to. And it's a church that has a huge children's ministry. Matter of fact, we saw worship, we saw some video on worship, and you know, most of the congregation are children. The workers are young adults who were children in that ministry. And so Craig Scoville, Rex Gordon, and Daniel Seals are in Cambodia. And there's a place on the border that's really, really hard and difficult. And there's a war that's broken out over territory and country lines, and there's refugees on that border. And they spent a day, 2 days, just in that threat where their bombs could be falling, where things can be happening, to minister to 1,000, 2,000 kids. I think about that, something that may be so uncomfortable for so many of us, where people will get on a plane and go to a hard place, difficult place, but yet also a joyful place, to go into that snowy pit on a snowy day to be a part of kingdom work, snatching people from the fire. You know, I think about the biblical people that did this. I think about David, a shepherd boy who goes to the bear, goes to the lion, kills it, snatches the lamb from its jaws and paw. I think about Daniel, that teenager who goes into the fire, Goliath, wins this great victory for the glory of God. I think about just the courage, and I think about the faith that it takes to do something that may be daring. And it may not be daring to somebody else. It's just daring to you, you know? It's just something that you might struggle with doing. There's this great story in Scripture about a woman named Jael. She's not even an Israelite, but she has a love for God's people. And there's this general named Sisera. And Sisera has just won this, has just fled. I mean, they've lost this battle. Deborah and Barak, she's the prophet, he's the prophetess, he's her assistant, and they go into this war, and they win a war, but they can't find him. And this woman welcomes him into her home, feeds him, gives him water, gives him a place to rest while he's sleeping, hammers a peg in the temple of the side of his head to finish off what an army couldn't do. I think that's powerful. Such a metaphor about spiritual warfare. You know, I think about Paul, who will go into cities knowing that death awaits or affliction awaits or beatings wait. Why? For the glory of God. He'll go into a pit to kill a lion on a snowy day. I think about others that have gone before us who will walk like Nehemiah, who leaves the comfort of a place or a throne room in Persia, a palace in Persia, to go back to Jerusalem, hostile territory this time, to build a wall with a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. I think about Daniel, who kneels in prayer, knowing that a den full of lions await him, hungry lions await him, but takes the risk. Why? Because he's not going to listen to somebody who says you can't pray. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who say, listen, you throw us into the fire, God can save us and deliver, but even if he doesn't, you will know that we don't worship gold. We will not bow down to your idol. And you see, they go into the furnace to kill the lion on a snowy day. I think about the mighty deeds of men, the mighty deeds of godly men that have gone before us. We think of men like Noah, who for 100 years is just ridiculed while he builds an ark, where no one's ever seen rain in the middle of a place that there's no ocean or sea or water. Folks, these folks were obedient. Benaiah was obedient, even when it might not have made sense to the world. You know, I think about Jesus, when Jesus said that the works that he does, that we will do also, and greater works than these, that we'll do. And I think about us as men and women, as sons and daughters. I think about us as a church. Are we a church that through faith, the faith that brings righteousness, that we do mighty deeds for the glory of God? And I think about Jesus leaving the throne room of heaven for all eternity, becomes a man, puts on human skin, and comes down and lives for 33 years a perfect life in a hostile world. To do what? To rescue you from the jaws of the lion. I think about that. I think about just the whole thought that Peter says, that we're to be sober. We're being on the alert, that our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I think about just sometimes in the pits that we find ourselves in. And God's there to rescue. He's there to take us out of the pit. He's there to do what Benaiah did. To come into that, kill that lion, rescue us from its jaws. And I think about the pits that we come into. I think about the lion, the warfare that we're in. And God calls us to kill it, to kill sin, to kill pride, to kill lust, to crucify the flesh and its passions, and to live for the glory of God. The Bible promises that the seed of the woman would come one day come and crush the head of the enemy, the lion. And yet he also promises. We find this in Romans. It's the last chapter. It's towards the end of the chapter that God will also give us victory because Satan will soon be crushed under our feet. As we look at this message on this day, I think about the assignments that God's given you. I think about the gifts that God's called you to, the things that have been on your life, sometimes all your life. You knew that there was something special about God. And sometimes because of fear and worry, we won't jump into the pit on that snowy day. And I'm just saying, what is it that God's called you to do, asked you to do, that's given you the assignment, and you know what that assignment is, and yet you resist it? Maybe because of fear. Maybe because of worry. Maybe because of inconvenience. You know, I just want to challenge us today. I believe that God has invited us to eternal life, right? To live godly, to give hope, to walk holy. And he's given us everything we need, even on a snowy day, to run after that lion, go to the front line for the glory of God in that moment. And you know, it may not look bloody. It may not look like it looks for Benaiah. It may just be spending time with somebody that you know is lost, and a cup of coffee in a coffee shop could really, in God's eye, be a pit on a snowy day. Because why? Because we are a part of rescuing people from the jaws of the lion, the paw of the lion. It's interesting because I think about Benaiah's third feat, this 90 deed that he meets this Egyptian who's got this spear. And they say it's the size of a weaver's beam, which means it's huge. The beam is actually the part of the sword. The tip of the sword, probably 15 pounds. So this guy's huge. Benaiah has a club. He's got a spear. It's big. I mean, the average height, they say, of Israelites were like 5'7 and 5'8. And yet here were these giants in the land that were 6-7 feet tall. And yet Benaiah, with a club, steals the spear, disarms the enemy, and then kills the enemy with the same weapon that the enemy wants to kill you with. You say, well, how does that make sense? Well, think about Jesus. The very thing that Satan incited the religious people of the day to put Jesus on the cross, to crucify him, was actually the very weapon that crushed the head of the enemy. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to disarm the enemy for you, to turn it around and crush its head under your feet. Listen, by the glory of God, by the power of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Just go back to last week's message and see all that God's given us to pursue God, and in that pursuit, to be a part of the reconciliation ministry of God. Going into hard places, maybe socially, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe because you just don't feel you have the gift of this, but you know God's called you. And if God calls you to it, he'll equip you for it. Love this story. Bible says that this man was trusted by David, trusted by the king, and entrusted his son Solomon to him. And he remained faithful to King David long after King David was dead. Matter of fact, he was King David's friend, trusted to be able to say, I'm putting you in a position of authority. You may not be one of the top three, but you're certainly top 10. And I want you to lead my guard. I want you to lead Solomon's guard. And so in the throes of a kingdom, a movement of from one king to the other, you've got rebellion all over. But yet he stays true to the king. Church, will we stay true to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to go to the places that are hard? Will we be men and women who are willing to go into a pit on a snowy day to kill that lion? Whether it's personal, whether it's somebody else, to just move in the presence of God and the power of God, to be men and women of valor, valiant men and women for the glory of God. to speak what God asks us to speak in love, even if it's hard, to not avoid the things of this world that would keep us from this living this godly life, this holy life, this abundant life that He's giving you everything to live. I'm grateful for today. I'm grateful for what God's called us to. I'm grateful for a church that has said yes to Him in so many ways. And I just want to just encourage you today that God has an assignment for you, even on snowy days. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for the morning. I want to thank you for this passage of Scripture. Just thank you for your presence right now. And I pray that the presence of God would just be right upon people right now, right here, in their homes, watching, listening live, maybe later on in a car, vehicle, truck. And I just ask, Lord, that we would take up the arms, that we know that we have been given the armor of God to stand firm in the evil day. I thank you that you said that you disarmed the rulers and you made a public display of them at the cross when you nailed the certificate of death on the cross. I just want to thank you for dying in our place, equipping us for the glory of God. And I pray, Lord, I pray that we would be valiant men and women for the glory of God, to Father face whatever we need to face, even on a snowy day. In Jesus' name, amen.